good to be back too. Had a wonderful gospel meeting, and as I announced in Bible class this morning, the sermons are on the Facebook page of the Northern Michigan Church of Christ, and I would recommend that you go there and you can listen to JR's lessons. They were very good lessons. It was the first time I had a chance to be around Brother Bronger, and it was he's quite a fellow, and it's was a very enjoyable time, plus getting to see Ryan and Jennifer. Also, I want to request prayers on behalf of Susan Farrell. We remembered her a couple years ago. She had a brain tumor. Her and her husband, Sean, are members of 12th Street at Flint, so I've known them over the years. And they have three boys. One is 13, and the twins are three. I was talking to her. They came to the meeting, and she looked great, but told me that the doctors gave her 10 years. So they're hoping and praying that something will happen in 10 years. So add your prayers to that. Well, it's become quite fashionable, quite common to see churches, even many calling themselves churches of Christ, to furnish entertainment and recreation for their members and for the world at large. Some call it, I call it, food, fun, and frolic. That's the business that they've gotten themselves into. Some call it the social gospel. They claim to minister to the whole man, to both body and spirit. But is that what the church is all about? Well, I just use this as an example. I happened to pull off the internet. This Baptist church says they have a ministry of recreation. They have a full kitchen, a snack bar, the arcade, a gym, and the whole nine yards. Is that what the kingdom or the church is about? We just remembered the Lord's death here, the excruciating pain that he went, he was scourged, and as he hung on that cross. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul tells us that he purchased the church with his own blood. Is that why Jesus shed his blood? So that we as the church can engage in those kinds of things? And I think not. In Romans 14 and verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus said that it would come without observation. They would not say, see here or see there. But the kingdom of God is in us. It's allowing God to rule in our hearts. So in today's lesson, I want to consider why we at Westside do not offer food, fun, and frolic as a work of the church. We don't offer food, fun, and frolic because the church, as we studied in Bible class this morning, is a spiritual house. It's the temple of God. Peter writes that we are living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We studied from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 23 about the fact that the church is God's temple. He inhabits us as these living stones in his church through his spirit. So it's not the nature of the Lord's kingdom to provide food, fun, and frolic. Again, the kingdom is not eating and drinking. Jesus said to Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. Certainly, it's of this world in the sense that we have this meeting place so we can gather and worship God and edify one another. But God rules in our hearts. So as we go through this lesson, the one scripture I would like you to always keep in mind is Acts 20 and verse 28. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Well, we here at Westside don't provide food, fun, and frolic because we as Christians have houses for that. That's what the early disciples did in Acts chapter 2. In verse 46, the early disciples continued daily with one accord in the temple. And now notice, and breaking bread where? From house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So in the New Testament, social meals were in the realm of the home. They ate from house to house. They certainly came together to eat of the Lord's Supper, but not these common meals as part of the work of the church. In his great treatise on the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul rebukes the Corinthians. He says in verse 22, "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." So where do Paul say common meals belong? You have houses to eat and drink in. It belongs in the realm of the home. Nothing at all wrong with us getting together as brethren and eating a common meal together, but that's part of the home. And by extension, you know, we could provide food in that realm at a restaurant or something of that nature. In the latter part of that same chapter, in verse 34, "But if anyone is hungry, where are they to eat? Let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment." I want to make it clear, every time I talk about this with someone who believes that the church should be involved in these things, they say, "Well, you believe the building is sacred and you can't eat in the building." No, I don't believe that at all. I don't think it's wrong to eat in the building per se, but it's not right for the church to provide that as part of its work. Just when I was in Michigan, the Wednesday before last, Ryan and I went to the building. He was power washing the outside and I cleaned the inside. And I had me a McDonald's hamburger because I was hungry. Nothing wrong with that. But for us to gather in the building, for the church to provide a meal or a banquet, that is what we're talking about as being wrong. We need to remember how we derive authority for the church building to begin with. Paul said we're to do all things according to the authority of Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. God requires us. Worship is a must. John 4 and verse 24, worship him in spirit and in truth. We're not to abandon the assembling of ourselves together. That's where we derive the authority for having a church building in the first place. But that means that the church building is reserved for those purposes and those purposes alone. I guess in a sense that does make it sacred if you define sacred as simply something that's set apart. The building here is set apart for a specific purpose. Just like the communion trays are set aside to partake of the Lord's Supper. If I go out here, Ken and I in the parking lot start playing frisbee with the communion plates, that's wrong. That's not the purpose that they're designed for and intended for. So to use the building for our carnal pleasures, and I'm not saying anything in and of itself is sinful, we have the wrong location. We have houses for that, and we're misusing Christ's authority. And that puts us in a position, Paul said, of despising the church of God. And that's serious business. Well, we at Westside don't provide food, fun, and frolic because there's no command for it. Remember what Jesus said in the Great Commission as recorded in the book of Matthew. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't the end of it, was it? Teach them to what? Observe all things that I have commanded you. And I just simply, and I'm not trying to be facetious at all, ask the question, where has Christ or the church to be involved in food, fun, and frolic? I can't find a scripture for that. God's word says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I need to be able to open God's book, put my finger on book, chapter, and verse, keeping it in the proper context to authorize that, and I just can't do that. In John 12 and verse 48, we're going to be judged by the words of Christ. If I can't put my finger on the words of Christ to authorize something, then I better not be involved in it. You remember in Acts 15, the apostles sent out a letter over the controversy surrounding circumcision. And the problem was these Judaizing teachers were trying to bind circumcision, the law of Moses, on people that were Christians. You remember there's a phrase in that letter that is so applicable here. The apostles wrote, "We have found no such commandment." God is silent on that. There's no such commandment. And that's true about the church being involved in these social activities. We have found no such commandment. In fact, I've only found one verse really talking about it, and I've just mentioned it. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Yes, we do. Let's keep it there. Well, we at Westside here don't provide food, fun, and frolic because there's no approved example. There's no command, and there's no approved example of the church in the New Testament under the divine guidance of the inspired apostles providing such things. If you can find an example, I'd be glad to consider it, but I've never yet found a legitimate example of this. The problematic church at Corinth was doing what most modern churches do. They were providing food, fun, and frolic for their members. And what happened? Paul told them that that was not something that they should be involved in. I think it's interesting when you read of the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. Five of them are in danger of having their candlestick removed. But none of them were criticized for the things that so many modern churches provide today. The church at Sardis did not have a basketball court or a softball team that they were criticized for. The first century church did not provide entertainment and recreation because there weren't forms of entertainment and recreation in the first century. They had plenty of things. They loved banquets back in that day and age. They loved sports. Paul uses a sports analogy in 1 Corinthians 9 about the Isthmian Games. He talks about his self-control, and he compares that to a runner preparing for these games. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore," he writes to Timothy, "endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries," that's an athletic term, "yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." In other words, Timothy, if you're going to lay hold of eternal life, you have to be willing to make sacrifices. You have to be willing to suffer persecutions, exercise self-control, endure temptation, and follow the rules laid forth by Christ. "Observe all things I have commanded," as we see that Jesus put it in Matthew 28 and verse 20. So, though there were athletic events and many social activities in the first century, there's no indication that the church ever planned, promoted, or provided such under divine guidance. For example, the church at Jerusalem, when we studied Matthew 24, Jerusalem was known for its hippodrome, which was basically a chariot racetrack. If you've ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, it's very prominent in that movie. But the church at Jerusalem never sponsored a chariot race, never sponsored a chariot in a chariot race. The church at Corinth never sponsored a carnival, to my knowledge. They never did, as a church in Wisconsin many years ago did every year. They raffled off a Buick. They had a big shebang, a big carnival, and the kind of the crowning moment of this carnival was the drawing of the winning ticket for the new Buick. So, very importantly, at the bottom of the slide, we cannot argue from silence. Remember, God gave no such command. And Hebrews in verse 14, it talks about the priesthood of Christ. He arose from the tribe of Judah. Which tribe? Moses spoke what? Nothing concerning the priesthood. God's silence about Judah, the tribe of Judah being priest, did not authorize Christ to be a priest after the Levitical order. And God's silence about these matters does not give us authority either. Silence does not permit, as we've studied, from authority, but forbids. Well, we don't provide food, fun, and frolic here at Westside because we're not equipped for that. The inspired apostle reveals what God did equip the church with. He gave them to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He did not give some to be cooks, coaches, or clowns. I've even seen churches engaging in that. He did not give some to be ministers of social services or ministers of a puppet ministry. Think about this. You run into the hospital emergency room shouting, "I've got a problem, I've got a problem," and they come running. "What's your problem?" "Well, my car's overheating." What are they going to tell you? "Well, you need to go down the road. We're not equipped to take care of that. You need to go to the garage down here at the corner." Or imagine going into your local car dealership and ordering a hamburger, french fries, and a Coke. We're not equipped for that. We don't have a grill here. We don't serve food. You need to go to the restaurant across the way. Well, that's the same with the church. God did not equip the church for the social activities. But yet, so many go to the church for that very purpose. I don't get a lot of phone calls, but I do get calls from time to time. And usually the call goes something like this. The caller will say, "What programs do you have for the youth? What's your youth ministry?" And I'll say, "Well, we have Bible classes for all ages. We teach the gospel to people, the power of God unto salvation." And do you know what the response usually is? Click, or a long silence, and they'll say something like, "Oh, okay. Well, thank you anyway." And that's the end of the conversation. God did not equip his body, the church, for these social things. He provided apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we find the purpose of what God did equip the church for. What are these things for? Well, verse 12 tells us they're for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We were talking about that this morning in Bible class. That's our goal, to be conformed to Christ, to come to this perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's what God equipped the church to accomplish. well, why don't we provide food, fun, and frolic here at Westside? It's because it's not of the work of the church. And this is just an extension of that previous point. The work of the church is set forth very simply in Ephesians 4, verse 12. The perfecting of the saints, the work of ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. So if that's what you're seeking, we can provide that for you here at Westside. All of these are spiritual activities. They do not include worldly entertainment and recreation. Well, why doesn't the church here provide for food, fun, and frolic? We don't have the funds for it. Even if we had a vast membership and an overflowing treasury, we have funds for it. God has not authorized that. We took up a collection here a few minutes ago. It was a collection for the saints, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. He had given orders to the churches of Galatia, so must you do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. A collection is for what? It was for the saints. We can read in the book of Philippians in chapter 4 that Philippi sent once and again to Paul's needs as he preached in Thessalonica. So we can use money for those purposes as well. We have no record of the church at Philippi setting aside funds so they could have a chariot race or something of that nature, or whatever games they played back in that day and age. They were committed to spiritual activities, to building up the body of Christ, to evangelism, edification, and the relief of needy saints. That doesn't leave funds for anything else. Think about the use of the church funds. We've got a population of over 7 billion people on this earth. How could we use that money to fill our bellies, to buy baseball gloves or basketballs, when the world is dead in sin and lost? We need to be reaching them with the gospel. Well, why doesn't the church here provide food, fun, and frolic? It's because the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. That's what Paul wrote Timothy. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He says, I write so that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Everybody knows what a pillar is. A pillar is something that's something. If you've ever been to my house, I've got big limestone pillars out on the porch. I think there's about 8 or 9 of them. They support the structure that's above it. If we remove those pillars, boom, it'll fall down. The church doesn't exist to provide support for entertainment and recreation. It's not the pillar and ground of food, fun, and frolic. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free of what? Free of sin. Of course, God's word is truth. John 17 and verse 17. That's what the church is to provide. The truth that sets men free from their sins, gives them the hope of heaven. Again, imagine spending those precious resources on our carnal appetites when the world is basically lost. I just don't understand how folks can't see that point. It's so in your face, as we might say. As you think about spending money on those things, how would you like to have to answer for that on the day of judgment? Oh, we didn't have money, to support a preacher in XYZ place. Well, why didn't you have the money? Well, we had to buy new softball uniforms for the softball team. Can't imagine having to answer that. Well, why doesn't the local church here provide for food, fun, and frolic? It's because the cross of Christ is the attraction, not food, fun, and frolic. Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Paul reminded the Corinthians that he was determined not to know anything among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. So to suggest, as many do, that we need entertainment and recreation, food, fun, and frolic, if you will, to get folks to come and to keep them coming, what does that say about the cross of Christ? It says it's insufficient and inadequate. So I want you all to think about that, to chew on that one for a bit. Here's what one preacher described this concept, and I, for some reason, this has always stuck with me. It's an old quote. He said, a church that uses fried chicken, iced tea, and ice cream to attract people is as cold as the cream, as weak as the tea, and as dead as the chicken. They might have a building full of people, but what got the people there and what keeps them there? Food, fun, and frolic, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we don't provide food, fun, and frolic here at Westside because the gospel of Christ is God's saving power. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians. They were brethren that were beloved by the Lord because God from the beginning chose them for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now notice verse 14, to which he called you by what? Our gospel, the power of God into salvation for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, and it alone, is God's drawing card. It informs us of how to be reconciled to God. Jesus came not that we can engage in food, fun, and frolic, but he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and verse 10. These are the purposes of the gospel. God intentionally fashioned the message of the cross to draw men to him for salvation. Turn over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000. And the next day, they still followed him, but there was no free lunch the next day. One of the things he said to the crowd was, in verse 44, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. What does he use to draw people? The gospel. The seed of the kingdom in the parable of the sower and the seed. God has fashioned the gospel message to inform us of his great love and his mercy. He is rich in mercy, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. Why, Paul? Because of love which he had for us. So when the church uses any other calling card, any other means to draw men to God, they're using a false calling card. A calling card that's incapable of saving. Think about this. Whatever we use to draw men is the same thing we have to use to keep them. So, if we use food, fun, and frolic to draw men, what are we going to have to use to keep them? The same thing. Actually, we have not drawn men to God at all. We've simply drawn them to food, fun, and frolic, not the gospel of Christ. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. If we suddenly decided to hold a big carnival in this parking lot, sponsor softball teams and so forth, we'd have to build a new building over there in that empty lot in pretty short order. But the only thing we would have is a new building. It might be full of people, but it would not be full of saved people. Now, that's our lesson for this morning. We simply offer the gospel, because the gospel is God's power unto salvation. The gospel, and it alone, is God's drawing card. It's the way he draws men to himself for reconciliation. That's all we can provide here at Westside. I don't want to give the impression that I think food, fun, and frolic in and of itself is wrong. It's not wrong. It's just not the business the church is to be in. God has not equipped us for it. He's equipped us for salvation. That's the business that we're in. No matter how good one's intentions might be, food and frolic cannot save us. Only the gospel of Christ can do that. So if salvation's what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. If it's these other things, I would highly recommend many of the denominational churches in town. Even our liberal brethren can provide you with those things. They'll offer plenty of it, but they can't offer you a home in heaven when you die. Here at Westside, we're determined to know, not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If that appeals to you, if that attracts you, if that's what you're looking for, we bid you come forward while we stand and sing.
The tears in heaven, no sorrows give us.